welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Would you pray with me? God, I just, Lord, I pray right now that as we go into hearing your word, God, would you speak mightily to us, Lord? Would you speak powerfully? And even the soul that came into this room this morning, just planning to coast through the service and just sit through it and go about their day, Lord, would you rock their world through your word? Would you completely, if they needed, dismantle their life from what they know right now, God, would you transform every heart that needs transforming? Would you shape every heart, God, that needs shaping? And so, Lord, we know that you call much. You call us to much. You expect much of your people. So, Lord, would you awaken hearts to live for you at all costs, that we would truly be your slaves and servants in your service and in love for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. Starting next week, we are going to be looking at the topic of worship for 3 weeks, and then we're going to jump into a series through the book of Exodus after that, which will carry us on for a couple months, and I'm really looking forward to that series and to the series next week on the topic of worship and what the Bible has to say on that. But today, we will be looking at, continuing to look at, the book of Philemon. As we were just out of the book of Colossians, Philemon, as we know, was a member of the church in Colossae. He received, just like the rest of the church, the book to the Colossians. He was a Colossian. And so now, hand in hand with the book of Colossians, we're looking at the book of Philemon, a personal letter to one of the members. And so with that said, I'm going to read it once more, the entire book, all 25 verses, and then we are going to see what it has to say this morning. This is what the Word of God says. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love, of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all of the saints. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective in the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I've derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because of the hearts of the saints that have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, for the love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might be by compulsion, not be by compulsion, but your own accord. For this purpose is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so does Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So that is the entire book of Philemon. And to summarize it, we did a little bit longer, lengthy of a summary last week. But in short, really, this is Paul writing to a man named Philemon for the sake of Onesimus, his former slave, expecting Philemon to take Onesimus back and give him freedom, though he was a runaway slave who stole from him. It's a hard challenge for Philemon. Well, last week, if you remember, we saw really the book through the lens of Onesimus. We saw the beauty of the gospel, that as Philemon would graciously and mercifully accept back Onesimus, though he was completely guilty, we can see ourselves also offered salvation and grace and mercy from a gracious God, though we are guilty and not deserving of it. We can see the gospel through the lens of Onesimus in this letter. Well, this week, I want to look at the letter to Philemon through the lens of Philemon, the recipient of the letter. I want us to look at the theme of obeying God even when it is so difficult to do it, because that is what Philemon was called to do in the letter. And the title, I don't always title sermons, but the title for today, if you're taking notes, is simple: A Slave to Christ. A Slave to Christ. And yes, so while Onesimus was the literal slave in the story, Onesimus was a slave, Philemon was the master. While that is true, I think more important to the book that you and I need to see is that the slave master, Philemon, he was actually the true slave in the story. Philemon is truly the slave in the story. He's the slave to Christ. If we go to Colossians 4, remember, the same church receiving the book of Colossians, and this is what Paul writes. He says, masters, that's Philemon's in this category, right? He's a master to slaves. And he says, masters, treat your bondservants or your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. You see, yes, Onesimus was a slave, literally, but the true slave in the book of Philemon was Philemon, because he has a master in heaven, and the book is all about how he is to obey his master even when it's difficult. And what we'll find in just a little bit is that just like Philemon, you and I are slaves as well to Christ. If you are in Christ, you are a slave to him. I think about whenever I was in Springfield going to school, Evangel University, I made the poor decision to try out for the soccer team there, and unfortunately I made it, and which made me a slave to that coach that I did not want to be. Man, I tell you what, that was terrible. I was enjoying my studies, My now wife was going to school with me, and it was all good. I had time to hang out with her. I had time for my studies, and then I became a slave to the soccer team, where I would get up at 5 a.m., and he would have us run 8 to 10 miles, and then that was the season of two-a-days, where I'd have to do it again in the evening. And I remember laying on my dorm floor, the floor of my dorm, and I would just be trying to roll out my legs. And I was almost in tears, how painful it was. But whatever my coach wanted from me, my life was not my own. I just had to do it. because ultimately, when I joined that team, it took up all my time. It consumed my life. It was now completely what shaped my life. And I think that as a small picture of what it looks like to be a slave to Christ, when you are in Him, grafted into His family, He now consumes your life, all of your time, and you are His entirely. A slave to Christ. And so when we go to the book of Philemon, what does the book of Philemon say about being a slave to Christ? I think three things, okay? Three things about being a slave to Christ that this book teaches us. Firstly, and actually you just saw it, if we'll go back, the first thing is that every Christian is a slave to Christ. That's what I think the book says about being a slave to Christ, is that we all are. The book teaches that, I think. We all are slaves. If you go to the book, Paul acknowledges first on that he himself, the writer of the book, the Apostle Paul, is a slave to Christ. He starts the letter that way. He's writing about a slave to a master who's really a slave to Christ, and he says, hey, just want to let you know who's writing this letter. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon. He starts off by acknowledging that he himself is enslaved to his Lord and Savior. And then again, he wants to repeat it to make it that much more emphasized. In verse 9, he says, I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. And now, this is literal. He really was actually a prisoner because of the name of Christ, because he was preaching Christ. And he was literally a prisoner in Rome for Christ's sake. But this has a double meaning. Not only is he literally a prisoner because of Jesus, but he also is a slave to Christ when his life is his. And he's not alone. He wants to remind Philemon that he is not alone. He's not the only slave here. Philemon also is enslaved to Christ if he is in Christ. If you go to verses 8 and 9, so right before this part here, he says, accordingly, Philemon, though I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is, what? Not suggested. No, no. Your life's not your own, Philemon. If I were bold enough, I could command you to do what is required of you. Yet for the love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. So he is insinuating to Philemon, notice this. This is so important. He is insinuating that Philemon wears the same chains that Paul wears, the chains of Christ. And all over the New Testament, if we broaden out, now you get outside of the book of Philemon and you go all around the New Testament, we can see that they aren't the only two. Paul's not the only one. Philemon's included, and those aren't the only two. Actually, we can see when we go to the New Testament, all Christians are wearing the same chains of Christ. We are His, not our own. This is a topic that I don't think many people want to talk about because it's uncomfortable. Yes, His yoke is easy. Yes, He brings rest. But let's not just be lopsided in our theology. He owns our life. He is our master. So let's look at the whole New Testament just briefly. Let's do a word survey. We don't always do this because I don't want to be all too heady. But I think today, I ran it by Sarah even because she's always like, don't use the Greek, don't use the... I think today's actually very helpful. Let's do a brief word study because I think this will be very helpful for us. Christians are consistently and constantly called slaves in the New Testament to Christ. Did you know that? They are all over. And we might not notice it because translators get very awkward about this word. They do. English translators get very awkward about this word because I think the stigma that comes with it of slavery. So let's do our own work here and not just rely on the English translators. That's the word. Doulos is how you pronounce that. Doulos. And that's the word slave. Slave. And now whenever you look throughout the New Testament at the word doulos, anytime it's referring to like a literal slave, like slavery, they translate that word as it should be, slave. Look, let's look at a few here. Revelation 6:15. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slaves, doulos, and free, hid themselves in the caves among the rocks of the mountains. You see that? So this is talking about every social class, all people, kings, the generals, the rich people, the free people, and the doulos, the slaves. They're slaves, literally slaves. And you can also see in Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Maybe you know this, it's a common verse. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, doulos, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. So you see that anytime we're talking about literally slavery, doulos is slave. But here's where I think the English translators of our Bibles really drop the ball, because they get awkward about, slavery. Let's change that. So anytime we talk about doulos, when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, no longer are we slaves, but we are. They just translate it wrongly. So let's go to Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, it's the same word. So it would be a what? A slave of Christ Jesus. But no, we use in the English translation, servant. No, doulos is slave. Let's be upfront with what we are of Christ Jesus. Epaphras is a servant. No, he's a slave. 1 Corinthians 7:22. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant, it's doulos, is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when he was called is a slave. No, bondservant. We just get awkward because I think, my guess is, why we, every time it comes to being a slave of Christ, we change that word is because, my guess, because it sounds bad. It's culturally offensive because the stigma that comes with slavery. But hear me, I think changing the word when it's talking about being a follower of Jesus is wrong. We are slaves of Christ. I don't think we should water this down. I don't think we should water down our enslavement to Christ just to make people happy and to make it culturally more comfortable. We aren't just bond servants. We aren't just servants. Those sound better, don't they? But it's not the word. It's slaves. Instead of, I think, watering down that word, I think instead we should simply educate people, educate ourselves. Slavery in the Bible was not the same as modern concept of slavery. We've talked about this already before. Slavery in the Bible was not the same as what you and I know as the transatlantic slave trade, taking individuals, stealing individuals from Africa, bringing them to the New World, and forcing labor upon them. It is not the same in biblical slavery. So let's just not change the word. Let's just educate individuals and ourselves. It's not the same. In biblical times, slavery was not racial. It wasn't. Over half the Roman world, doesn't matter about the skin color, over half the Roman world at this time were slaves. It was not racial. Whereas the slavery you and I know in modern times was entirely based on race. And that's racism. It's racist. It's evil. It's an abomination to man to judge someone's race or skin color. But that's not what it was in the Bible. And it wasn't only not racial, but it wasn't forced upon those individuals. Man-stealing is what it's called in the Old Testament, was punishable by death. It's evil. And the Bible acknowledges that. It is evil to steal an individual and force labor upon them when they don't want it. That's what we know in modern slavery, but in biblical slavery, it was voluntary. It was giving of yourself so that you would be provided for, your family would be provided for, and your labor was your means of payment for them, for providing for your family. So when you think about it that way, slaves to Christ is a very good picture of how we should serve Christ. Think about it. Slaves surrendered their rights to their master, and they depended upon their master to provide for all of their needs. That's what slavery was. They surrendered their rights to their master entirely. I am now yours, so that and you will provide for my needs, and I will trust you to do so. Listen, we are slaves of Christ. You and I surrender our rights to God. He is our master. We are not the masters of our own lives. We have surrendered that to Him, and He provides for us. We are entirely dependent upon Him at that point. We depend on Him to provide everything for us. So this is the first thing that I think Philemon, the book of Philemon, teaches us. We are all slaves. We're not bond servants. We're not just servants of Christ, but we are douloi, slaves of Christ. We need to acknowledge that. Secondly, I think the book of Philemon teaches us that slavery to God, since we are all slaves to God, slavery to God means complete submission to His rule in our lives. It's going to get better and better. Just wait. Promise. You are a slave to Christ if you are in Christ, and your slavery to Christ means complete submission to His rule in your life. I think the book is teaching us this. For Philemon, if you look at him, obedience to God was not suggested. It was required. It was required of him as a slave to Christ. It was required to accept Onesimus back. He was bound by the chains of Christ. If you go to verse 8, we already read it. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to what? Do what is required of you, Philemon. Your life is not your own. Do what is required of you. And then verse 21, we read this already as well. Paul said, I am confident of your obedience. Why? Because he knew it was required of Philemon. He says, I am confident of your obedience, Philemon, knowing that you will do even more than what I say. Do even more than what is required of you. So, Philemon's obedience to God was not only required, though, but, and this is the part you and I think, can oftentimes miss. This is so critical. Not only was Philemon's obedience required of him, but it was very telling. Was Philemon truly committed to Jesus Christ as his master? Was he truly submitting to God in all areas of his life? Will he obey God even when it's difficult? Philemon's obedience to his master and what his master says is not only required of him, but it is so telling. Is God really your master, Philemon? It's telling. This is when it gets kind of uncomfortable, I think, for modern-day Christians. Because I think because works aren't our means of salvation. We aren't saved by works. We oftentimes forget that works actually still have a purpose. Yes, we are not saved by works. Yes, you cannot save yourself by doing good deeds. Yes, but this is the part we forget. Works still have a purpose. Doing good things, it still has purpose. Yes, you aren't saved by obeying God, but your obedience matters. What does it do? It is evidence. It is telling. Is God truly your master? You aren't saved by works, but man, it is telling when you do obey God and when you don't obey God, when it's difficult. Works have a purpose. Just think about Philemon's situation. If he did what God asked him to do, knowing how hard it would be, what would we say? Wow, that man is truly committed to God. It was difficult to do what God called him to do, but Philemon did it anyway because he was truly committed to God. He was truly submitted to God as his master. But flip the narrative, right? What happens if Philemon knew what God commanded of him, knew what he needed to do to obey, but he blatantly disregarded it? What would we say? I'm questioning if that man truly is saved. I'm questioning if that man truly makes Jesus Christ his master in his life, right? If he knew God's commands and openly defied them, it would be very reasonable to question his commitment to God. Hebrews 10:26 says, "For," Sarah sent me this actually this week. It was just perfect. You didn't know it was going to be in here, but For if we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, what is good and wrong, what is required of us, if we continue going on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment. If you know what God is calling you to do, and you deliberately defy and disregard what He calls on your life to do, it is very questionable if He truly is your master. So it is with all Christians and not just Philemon. Obedience is required, and it is very telling if we are committed to God. It's a difficult message we need to hear. So thinking about you and I now today, I want you to really think through this. If you are a Christian, you are a slave to Christ. And if you are a slave to Christ, hear me. You must give up your "my way is better" mentality. It is not better. Your way is not better, and you must, as a slave of Christ, give up that mentality. And you must, I must, we are required to submit to the Word of God in all areas of our lives. This means turning away from all desires and passions and interests that are prohibited in Scripture. God has spoken against it, and we must adhere to that. This means only pursuing relationships within biblical parameters. If we are truly slaves of Christ, we will follow those parameters in our lives. This also means joining a church. I mentioned earlier this morning the church membership class. If we are truly slaves of Christ, we will submit ourselves to the leadership that He has established in the local bodies of the area. We will submit ourselves to that leadership, and we will put ourselves accountable to the community of Christians around us. We will submit to God's rule in our lives through the local church. That is one way we can show God really is my master. He does really rule in my life, and I really do submit to Him. And listen, doing these things is evidence of true Christianity. They are. That's the second thing that we see in the book of Philemon. Firstly, that all Christians are slaves to Christ. Secondly, we see that slavery, our slavery to God, means complete submission to His rule. Thirdly, I think the book of Philemon teaches that slavery to God does not mean dreaded obligation. It doesn't. And this is the part that we can just take a breath of fresh air. For Philemon, his obedience was not arm-twisting, begrudgingly obligated obedience. It wasn't. It was to be, not by compulsion, but according to his own accord. If you go to verse 14, Paul said, "I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but out of your own accord." So Paul is saying, Philemon, you are a slave to Christ. There are things you are required to do because God has spoken into your life regarding that issue. Now, there is no question. You are either going to obey Him as master or you won't, but you are required to follow Him. But your obedience shouldn't be begrudging, huffing and puffing, because I just don't want to do it, but God said I have to, and I don't want to go to hell, so I guess I got to. No. Paul teaches in the book of Philemon that our obedience, though it's required of us, should not be by compulsion, but out of our own accord, because we want to submit to God. Out of our own accord, we want to lay down our lives. We want to do what He says, even when it is hard for us. We want what He wants more than what feels good to us. It's not by compulsion. It's not arm twisting. It's on our own accord. We want to submit ourselves as slaves to Christ when He lives in us. It's not arm twisting. I think about, I told you before I had done yard care for 7 or 8 years before going into the pastorate, and I remember I was leading a crew, and we always, every Thursday, had to go, if you know, downtown Kansas City, like you're going 169 towards downtown Kansas City, right? 169, go straight down into it. There's waterworks. Maybe you know waterworks, where that water plant, all those massive pools of water. Well, we had a contract with them, and we had to mow the whole place every Thursday. And, Thursdays were my dreaded day. I hated that day. Because it waterworks, and it was terrible. But I always had to walk through all of waterworks with the weed eaters. There was the company that I worked for always brought in, like, high schoolers that just needed a summer job. And so every year, every summer, we got a new batch of these high schoolers that just needed to make some money. And it was always them that I had to walk through the whole place, waterworks, with them, because I knew there were parts that were dreadful, and they hated doing it, and so every time I would ride the mower, and they would walk next to me, and I'm like, hey, I told you have to do this part, right? And every time they're like, oh, I hate doing that, there's sand, and the sand hits my shins, and it hurts, and I'm like, come on, there's so much more, I know you miss the other parts too. And every Thursday, every summer, I'd have to go through waterworks, and it was like twisting their arm to do what we needed to do. We had to cut all the grass, even the areas that were very not fun. It was like twisting their arms. And I think many people think that is what Christianity is. God twisting our arms, saying, I told you to do this. And we're like, but God, I just don't want to. And they think that morality is just so that we don't have to go to hell, and we hate doing it, but I guess God said so. Hear me, that is not at all genuine Christian obedience is to be. It's not. It is not dreaded obligation. Our obedience is out of our own accord, and it's because who God is and what God has done for us. That's why we obey God. That's why we are slaves to Him. Firstly, because who He is majestic. He is glorious. He is God. And because when we see Him as who He is, how could we not want to submit our lives to Him and say, you are God, I'm not, I am undeserving. I just see who You are. Our obedience isn't because we have to and don't want to go to hell. No, it's because we see the majesty of who our Master is. That is why we obey. And not only who He is, but what He has done for us compels us to obey Him. He has made you. He has saved you. If you put your faith in Him, He died for you. He loved you first when you were very unlovable. You and I both. He loved you. And because of who He is and what He has done, we fall on our knees and say, I don't care if it's easy or not. I must be a slave to the One who made me, to the one and true only God. It is in response to His majesty. It is in response to His greatness. It is in response to His loving sacrifice. We respond with voluntary slavery to Him as King and as Master. We are slaves of Christ because we are compelled to. So, I want to just, in closing, speak to two different individuals, two different groups of people. Firstly, let me just say, if you are walking with Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me just speak to you for a second. If you are walking with Christ and He truly is your Master and you say, I submit my life to Him, let me speak to you for a minute. You are Christ's crown of creation. You are His crown of creation. You are His precious child. You are His fellow heir in all of eternity. He offers for you to sit on His throne with Him in eternity. That's how much He loves you. You are His precious child, crown of creation. But hear me, you are also His slave. Let's not have lopsided theology. He is to be your Lord, and He is to lord over your life and to be master over everything, all areas. Therefore, you have a calling to serve Him with all that you are. Not just because you have to, so much more than that.
because what he's done for you. It's because who he is. We're slaves. If you aren't walking with Christ today as your personal Savior, my heart goes out to you. My heart is burdened for you. Sarah and I were just praying for you this morning. Not by name, I don't know who you are, but I was praying for you. Sarah was praying for you that you would see the goodness of God. You would see what he did on the cross. You would see his majesty, his sacrifice, everything about who God is. And you would give your life to him. There is good news for you today. In him, there is freedom eternally from your pain, your guilt, your shame, all your fear. In him, there is that. And in him, there is a relationship with the majestic God for all of eternity. And with this good news comes the great calling that I want to encourage you to step to. He wants your life. He wants your heart. He wants your obedience. Not as payment. No. Works don't save us. He wants your obedience out of worship. Saying thank you for what he has done, for who he is. I encourage you to do that. Submit yourself as slaves to Christ. There is no better thing to do. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for today. Lord, we see your word. And while the word slave might be uncomfortable in today's society, with all the baggage that comes with it, we know that it's such a good thing to be your slave, because we know your yoke is easy, and we know that you are good. You are a good master. You are a master that loves us and wants good things for us. And so, Lord, we worship you because you are a good master, because you love your people. I pray that, Lord, today you would call people to yourself, people that don't currently see you as master. I pray that you would tug on their hearts. You would pull them to you. They could not deny it, and they must fall on their knees. Lord, I pray that that would happen today, and that there would be more slaves to Christ because of it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'll be down.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.